flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's prime. Get it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm camping, it's prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, man. This is Bald On Lie, episode 128, man. I'm going to keep calling these Bald On Lie late night because we're recording this extremely late. It is 12:30 on the East Coast. I am in Chicago right now, so it's 11:30 out here. If I was still in LA, I would have way more energy right now, but
I'm about to say, normally this is regular for you, my nigga.
Yeah,
I'd be fucking struggling, nigga.
Yeah, I got adjusted to Central Time, which is why I hate about when I come home. Like, I text you probably like a week to get adjusted to Central, and then I got to get adjusted right back to Pacific when I go back. Like, that first week, I'm probably going to be
I'm about to say, I don't care what nobody say. I love Pacific Time.
Pacific Time is the best.
Especially time zone, NFL season, G. Roll over, get you some breakfast, game is on.
If you're a sports head, it's like we are, and if you listen to this podcast, I'm pretty sure you're a sports head. It's the bet. We can watch all the games. Like, oh, I don't want football at 10 a.m. Nigga, football at 10 a.m. is perfect, my nigga.
It's going to last all day.
It's going to last all day. So by the time Sunday Night Football goes off, it's 9 o'clock at the latest.
That's another thing. You can actually – like one of my homies, he from the Bay, shout out to my nigga J Bell. He was like one of his childhood memories. He said, bro, when the Super Bowl is over – he said, me and my family, we go outside and play football.
Yeah.
He's like, half the time it's damn near still daylight outside. Like, that's just some shit we don't get.
You can still have your good night. I remember when the Eagles won a Super Bowl 3 years ago. And shout out my homie Waz. You already know Big Waz. Big Metropolitan is about to come. And when we went to Waz, Waz had a birthday / Super Bowl watch party out in Sherman Oaks, big mansion type joint. So we sitting there. So exactly. But if you know Waz, it matches the description perfectly. So we go out there in the Super Bowl and like around 8:30. So me and Pav heading back to the crib. He like, you trying to go to Soho House? Yeah, next. We went to Soho House like another 3 hours. Like, that's out here. White Sox game over, bro. White Sox game just ended like 20 minutes ago. I think it's 11:30, bro. Like, it's too late. And then on top of that, I like waking up when the rest of the world is functioning. I don't know why. Like, when I log in on Twitter, niggas is getting ready for lunch. And I'm just like, all right, you know.
Yeah, nah, bro. One of some of my favorite, that's why I miss traveling. Like, being in Vegas, getting back to my hotel at like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Checking my timeline and niggas is going to work and shit. Like,
yeah.
That shit is always funny.
And you still got the smell of tequila on your breath?
I'm still drunk. Fuck the smell of it. I'm still waiting.
It's still on you, period. Yeah, so while I have enjoyed my time, even though I really haven't done nothing since I've been here. Like, I would say Chicago's very dry right now. Very dry right now. You gotta get a reservation for everything, bro. Like, ain't nobody been on nothing. I've been hitting people up, like, what we on? I've been out maybe twice in 10 days I've been here. So I'm like, nigga, I am so ready to get back to LA. And by the way, cheap plug. The shameless plug, go out there, stream Pav's new album, Songs About Women.
Definitely, got to.
Out right now. So we appreciate y'all. Streams is like at 123,000 right now. I just want to tell you right now, just want to let y'all know a little music industry secret. The game is rigged. And what I mean by that is majority of those come from our singles. Letter to My Exes is like 90,000 streams right now. And the other single, Soft Lips, is 40,000 streams. So if you want to know why these artists have these OC numbers, because you add your single streams to the album. I just hit y'all with a little music industry game right there. So I want y'all to keep. So we not buying streams. I know people probably some of IG's like, nigga, how you get 123,000 in 24 hours? Nah, nigga, it's the singles. So
these niggas hit up the streaming farm.
The game is real. Like Bodie said, the game is real. So keep streaming, man. But you know where to follow us, man. You can follow me on Twitter at Barb Chescott on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow Dante at Octoberzonte. Follow the brand, the Barber's Chair Network, at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. And you know where to find us on Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. Summer Sessions OT's up there. I got my new White Sox podcast called He Gone. It's just me on there, so you can check that out. I don't know how much I'm going to update that one, but check that out right now. Sitting with the guys. We're going to finish Sopranos Season 3. Now that Falcon and Winter Soldier is completed, we're gonna take these next 7 weeks to the next Marvel show to knock out Sopranos, and I think we're going to start Breaking Bad for our Patreon school. So check that out. But yeah, downtown, what's going on in A, man? What's cracking out there?
It's solid out here, bro. I really can't complain. Just grab the Apple TV for the free today. You know, we all about free products. So
all the time.
That shit has been good, but it's been solid though. You know I shit on the Hawks a lot, but they actually been streaking lately. We're gonna talk about that a little bit later with the 4, 5, and 6 seeds in the East and the move that they've been making. But everything's been smooth this way. You know, just really waiting for the weather to finally break so we can really be, you know, outside. I know everybody else has already been outside. But, you know, now that I'm fully vaccinated, you know, really holding it down.
Backy so, boys out here.
Yeah, I ain't been doing shit but playing golf and coming home for a year and a half. So, starting to really get active, get out here. So, I'm excited for that.
I told Thomas when I was on Hoops and Brews this week, I was like, nigga, you just need to go ahead and just get the vaccine. Because he didn't go to the Clipper game because the Clippers and the Lakers are very strict now. Where if you don't have a vaccination card or proof of a test within the last 48 hours, you're not getting in. And he didn't want to go all the way to Inglewood either. Test. I'm like, nigga, you know you could just, instead of taking a test every time you cover games, get the goddamn vaccine. Like,
yeah, you know, I know. I mean, I'm not sure if he anti-vaccine than that.
He's not anti-vaccine. Thomas just thinks anybody have to get somebody, which is partially true.
Like I say, G, I will never tell a black person not to be, you know, pessimistic or suspicious of the government. We got every right to do that. But unless they just... Like, if they was just in the hood passing this out, like, all right, we're going to get all you niggas to take this, then I would say, all right, let's walk it back. But, you know, they're giving this to everybody, bro. Like, they just really trying to get this under control. And when you think about it, even going to school, all the shots you had to take to go to school. So it's like, exactly. you've had a shot before. Stop playing dumb. Like, exactly. Come on, dude, let's just get it over with.
Everybody's been slumped except for me. Like I told him, bro, like, ain't my fault. Y'all ain't got Thor's immune system like I do.
I was about to say, I was great. I don't know what was wrong with niggas.
Exactly. They're not worthy.
I was in the crib, fucking smoking blunts, playing FIFA, enjoying my day off.
Like, I was COVID, bro. I'm just, you know, I feel great out here. But let's get into basketball, man. It has been a pretty light week. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got too much to talk about this week, man. I don't even have any weekly observations. I don't know about you. Did you have any?
I do not. This was, like you said, a really light week. A lot of injuries. You know? A
lot of injuries, man. Trey Young messed up his ankle pretty bad. They said they don't know when he's going to return, hopefully. They said that he can play when the swelling goes down. But, you know, swelling probably takes a couple weeks. And that's really going to be – that's going to be a blow for the Hawks because I really expect him to drop from that top five spot, even though they had a pretty impressive win tonight over Miami. But – let's talk about the big injury that happened this week. James Harden, he tweaked his hamstring and had a hamstring setback, like, to the point where Steve Nash was just like, yo, we'll get him back when we get him back. Like, we're back to square one. Hopefully we'll have him back for the playoffs, but they couldn't even 100% guarantee that. KD's missed the last couple games with a contusion. They're hoping to have you back for Monday. But, you know, that's the whole thing with that. And it's just like the Nets to me, I'm concerned about them, and I'm not concerned about them as far as, you know, I'm only concerned about you need to get chemistry together, and they already have, you know, defensive question marks and things of that nature, but you got to have, they've only had Harden, KD, and Kyrie play 7 games together so far, so even if Harden comes back like the last week of the season, that means they'll probably only have 10 to 11 games under their belt. So I'm nervous, but I think the worry meter, especially when you have a hamstring. Everybody know hamstring is probably the most annoying injury to have because there's not really a timetable to that joint. It's just when it gets better, it gets better. And if he had a setback, and Harden really never gets injured, I think that's something they got to look out for.
You know, I definitely agree. I wouldn't say I'm like worry. I still think they'll at worst make the Eastern Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely something to monitor. Because like you said, you've seen like basically with the last 10 games, they've been just staying afloat. I believe they, you know, they won today, so they're 6-5. They last 11. And so it's really just been more so let's just try to, you know, you can't even say build on what we started because you can't build when you don't have all three of those big pieces there. So it's really more so just, but I will say with the injuries, you've seen some of the role players really step up. And so that's going to be key come playoff time because I know you're going to cut your rotation, but in the event you don't have some of these guys, you got guys, you know, that can step up and really, you know, help your team out a lot. So I'm worried a little bit, but I still think at the end of the day, at worst, you know, they go into the Eastern Conference Finals. I know I picked them to come out the East after the Harden deal, but I still think at worst you got a Eastern Conference Finals berth waiting to happen.
I think, I'm with you on now. I haven't changed my pick of them coming out the East at all. I still think that, you know, their team too, where they're a weird team. I feel like Stephen A. this week, because I was like on different people's shows this week. I was on Hoops and Brews, and they were talking about Pav said that the Nets are more of a idea than they are a team right now, because we haven't really seen what they can bring. And then like one of their contributors, Ashley Moss, you know, she got her own thing. She does. She be on Sports Illustrated and talk about the Knicks and stuff. And she was saying that we've never seen a team, you know, just win a championship with no type of chemistry, not being able to play with each other. And she was also talking about the lack of defense, which I do think defense is a problem. But outside of maybe Embiid and like AD to an extent, I don't think there's going to be that many issues for them. But I do think that they're going to need some when it comes to the Eastern Conference Finals. And if they get out the East and they get into the NBA Finals, that chemistry hopefully will be on point by then. But it's just like we just got to see them all on the court at the same time. Even if you look at KD, I think KD is a big question mark too, because this nigga ain't been on the court. Like, let's just keep it funky. Like, outside of the first month of the season, he has not been on the court this year. Like, he's been getting nagging injuries. First was the hamstring, now it's a contusion. He just can't stay on the court. So it's to the point where, can he stay long enough? And you just can't expect a team to just 100% just get it right in their first year together. And that's a concern for me. You know what I'm saying? With the Lakers, even though the Lakers haven't, you know, Lakers have been pretty much out, they haven't really had AD damn near all season. LeBron has missed the last month, and he's going to be out for the next 3 weeks. I don't think LeBron's coming back. It's probably like the last week of the season. But they have a year under their belts of playing with each other. So they always have that to fall back on. But, yeah, I would be my eyes are a little bit raised more than they were before, because I didn't like how Steve Nash just came out basically like, shit, nigga, I don't know. I hope. You know what I'm saying? I hope, nigga. Yeah. You know?
But no, I agree with her comments on the chemistry, not so much on the defense, in the sense that they just need timely stops. Like, if they can get a stop here and there with the way that they score, they'll still be able to beat most teams.
Yeah. And speaking of injuries, man, I think it's LaMelo kind of like healed like Voltron. They expecting that nigga back, so he's resuming full basketball activities.
They said bro got sucked up by Tiana Trump and this nigga healed miraculously. That shit crazy.
Hey, that would be hilarious. Like, yeah, I'm good now. She brought me back to life. By the way, I just want to salute LaMelo. Like, if I was 19 years old with all that money, yeah, I would entertain Tiana Trump as slow as she looks for a little bit of time.
Ain't fuck as she looks, as slow as she is.
Slow as she is, my bad. Yeah,
that's one of them old school. They say dumb as a doorknob, like.
Like the it's just like, you know, when you drive somebody house, like the lights on, but ain't nobody home. Like, yeah,
but it's a pretty house. Got that look. You know?
It's a very pretty house. Very pretty house. A lot of suction in that house. Yeah, if I was 19, I had, and I was a millionaire, I would entertain that for a little bit. I ain't gonna stunt. I'm 32. I might entertain that for a little bit.
Right, for a dad,
for a dad, not as long as he is. Like, by like, if I brought her over on Monday, by Wednesday, I'm for sure gonna be fed up. Okay. All right.
Well, you know what? This was fun, but you can go.
This was fun. You gotta go home. What did Jay-Z say in "Put Your Hands Up"? You'll be much more comfortable at home. Don't be mad. That's what I'll be like outside my apartment. Yeah, shout out to LaMelo, man. I think it's gonna be interesting to see him come back. The Hornets have actually played pretty well without him, so I gotta give him credit for that.
Yeah.
But speaking of the East, man, if you look at the East right now, man, it's really just kind of like a back and forth between Brooklyn and Philly. Brooklyn is back on top of the Eastern Conference after a win against Boston tonight at 40-20. Philly's 39-20 at 2. Milwaukee, I just want to say something about Milwaukee real quick. Milwaukee is 36-22. They are only 3 games out of the first spot. They're a game and a half behind Philly for the second spot. I think we might be, this is my hot take, we might be on a collision course for the niggas who had expectations last year NBA Finals between the Bucks and the Clippers.
Yes. Yeah.
Because We got two teams who all the pressure was on last year. And because of the Nets, because of the Lakers being the champs, because of Utah's rise, because of Phoenix, nobody's really talking about the Clippers. Like, the Clippers are really, really playing good basketball, and the Bucks are playing really good basketball. Bucks just beat the crap out of Philly at home by, like, 20. And, you know, Giannis is starting to feel it. Like, my biggest question mark with the Bucks has never been the supporting cast. Like I said, it's a weird thing. Usually if you look at, like, the LeBron Cavs or the KD Thunder or things of that nature, or even AD when he was in New Orleans to a certain extent, it was like the superstars are balling and they weren't getting that much help from the supporting cast. In this situation, the supporting cast is balling. And when the playoffs come, their superstar, the second highest paid man or the highest, I don't know, is he making more than Mike Trout or a little under than Mike Trout?
He makes under.
I think he makes, so he's like the second highest player in the major sports. I'm not going to include them soccer niggas. They make a whole different type of bread.
I'm going to say they number one. That's not even worth putting them in the
country. Right. Not including them soccer niggas. Then he's like the second highest paid player in sports. So all they need is for Giannis to figure out. If Giannis gets a move, like if Giannis had Zion's skill set, nigga, it wouldn't be fair.
I think it takes away, like, I understand we want to, you know, we always say he don't have moves, he don't do this, don't do that. But instead of just trying to add to it, we kind of got to appreciate it. Because also, when I watch the Bucks, I notice, like, they do a lot of vanilla shit during the regular season. Like, they really don't want to show their hand that much. And that shows you a team that's, you know, they have one goal, and that's championship. That you can tell this year, they really don't care about being the one seed. They as long as they, you know, they stay in that top three, they'll have home court in at least the first round. And then depending on how the chips fall going forward. But when I watch the Bucks play, G, I think, like you said, this is a really good basketball team. It's a really balanced basketball team. You add PJ Tucker to this team with Drew Holiday and Giannis and Middleton. And you got a lot of people that can lock down, play quality defense, G. So I think, like, you know, we've been talking about Brooklyn. If we get into a series where you got Brooklyn versus the Bucks, it's not a stretch to say that the Bucks can definitely stop them more than Brooklyn can stop them, and they can score with them almost, like,
yeah,
at least enough to beat them 4 out of 7 times. And I think for a while we haven't, you know, we've been saying, you know, it's not a team out there that can score with them. But at this point, you know, with you, we talking about the chemistry, this is, like I said, this is a team with the Bucks, they know what they want to do. So I mean, we might need to really, really start back considering them for the finals, because, like you said, they could easily get there.
Yeah, and the thing about with the Nets too, and I was thinking about this week when I was watching them, is like, yeah, they're probably the most, if we're talking about single individual talent, I still think offensively the 2017 Warriors is probably the best offense I've ever seen. Like, we're just talking about as a collective offense. I mean, what KD, Steph, and Clay were doing that year was biblical. Like, it just looks so easy. But we talking about three individual talents, two former MVPs. I mean, it's I don't think we've seen a collection of three guys as offensively talented as KD, Kyrie, and Harden. But with that being said, it's not like Steve Nash is drawing up intricate offensive plays. These niggas run ISO a lot of times. And in the playoffs, it's a half-court game. The game is going to slow down. If you're a good defensive team, you can at least make them, you know, make them work for it. It's going to be hard to shut all of them down or two of them down, but you can at least make them work for it. You know what I'm saying? And that's something I think the Bucks can do. I'm still – I actually believe in the Bucks way more than I believe in Philly. My problem with Philly is my problem I've had with Philly since day one. Ben Simmons can't score the basketball, and I think that's going to be a big problem. Embiid is going to get his. Like, the Nets, nobody. I don't think anybody in the league is going to have an answer for Embiid. Like, with Embiid, you're just going to have your big score as much as him. Like, if you're the Lakers, you're going to need AD to match Embiid. If you're the Nuggets, you're going to need Jokic to match Embiid. But that's the problem. Like, I feel like the Sixers' best chance was 2019, because they could have Ben be the facilitator, Ben be get rebounds, Ben, you know, play defense, and have Jimmy go out there and get you those buckets. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? To me, that was their perfect team. He can't go out there and get you a bucket at the end of games. And I think Embiid can to an extent, but you can't rely on your bigs that much at the end of games.
But my issue isn't I know we put a lot of the emphasis on Ben because, you know, everybody, you know, it's a spotlight on his lack of development as a shooter. But really, it just comes back to the fact, to the point that when you have to depend on your role players, you're like, it's like, if my role players don't play perfect, I'm not going to win this game. You never win a lot of fucking games when it matters. Yeah, that's true. Yep. Like, so, like, it really comes down to those superstars. And, like, I'm one of the people, like, I defend Ben a lot because, like you said, he doesn't shoot, but he does everything else really well. Like, really, really well. And the lack of aggression on offense at this point, at least to me, it's kind of alarming. Like, it's one thing to say you just a passer, but, like, you look at a lot of the shots he passes up, even though a lot of the times, like with LeBron, he makes the right basketball play, right basketball right. decision. But if he just had like a floater or something like that, but
he just needed one.
Yeah, bro is who he is. So, you know, they've had other players, you know, come in that they've surrounded them with. But at the same time, like, come playoff time, are you leaning on Tobias Harris? Like, do you want to do that? Like,
Tobias Harris
do it a couple games, but all the way through the finals, is he going to be that guy who can get you a bucket besides Joel Embiid? Like, that's a tough question.
Yeah, Tobias is nice, but Tobias is like, and I like Tobias, so this might come off a little rough, but Tobias is like a string of, but Tobias is a 40-degree day. I mean, it just kind of is what it is. Tobias is a 40-degree day. I mean, it's cool, but at the end of the games, you're not finna be going bucket for bucket. So let's just say they play Brooklyn. Who's going bucket for bucket with any of those guys? If it's like the last four minutes of the quarter and you got KD, Harden, and Kyrie going off, who's going to go bucket for bucket with them? I don't know. I can't even name a guy. Even if you look at the Bucks, you got Middleton can get you buckets down the stretch. Drew can get you buckets down the stretch. They ain't got nobody to do that. You know what I'm saying? For them, and that's a problem. And I do like Ben. People think I hate Ben Simmons. I don't. I just don't think Ben is the great fit for the Sixers. I feel like Ben would be a perfect point guard for the Bulls.
Yeah.
Then you got a guard who can get you some buckets like Zach.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you got like we said, what's his name? I just said his fucking name. Tobias Harris, you know, you got shooters, you got Danny Green, you got Seth Curry. They added George Hill, you know, you got four veteran point guard. Maxie. So you have players that can contribute, but when you get to the point, Dwight Howard, I didn't mention, bro, but, you know, he's played well for them. But, like, you, to your point, the game has moved away from playing through your big, and your big being your number one guy. So come playoff time when they're crashing down on Embiid because they know Ben's not going to shoot the ball, you know what I'm saying, having to spread that around to these other guys as opposed to having Ben be that other guy with the ability he has, I think that's going, like you said, that's going to handcuff them come playoff time. So I agree with you when you say I have way more faith in the Bucks than I do in Philly.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what this playoffs are going to look like. Even I think this has been one of the worst regular seasons I've ever seen in my life. I do think these playoffs are going to be exciting because I don't think there's a clear cut favorite. I really don't. If you look at like every team has question marks. You know, as good as the Clippers are playing, I'm going to get the Clippers they love real quick. Clippers are 11-2 in the month of April. Paul George just dropped another great game tonight, 32 points, 14 rebounds. And they're still not playing with Kawhi. Kawhi's still lower managing. They still got they're still waiting for Serge to get back and still waiting for Pat Bev to get back. When they get healthy, man, this is a team I feel like they can win it. They can win it. And even though, you know, they went out like some suckers last year, I know a lot of Laker fans didn't like when I said this, even though they lost to the Nuggets, I still think the Clippers could have beat the Lakers last year just matchup-wise. Like, you have guys who can guard LeBron. You had two bodies to throw at LeBron and Paul George and Kawhi. My biggest question with the Clippers is, can PG do what he's doing in the regular season in the playoffs? And can they keep up leads? Because the Clippers love getting big leads and letting niggas back in the game. And that's something they can't do. But I really like it. I think we might be on a collision course for a sneaky NBA Finals matchup.
Yeah. I know there'd be a lot of hate with the ratings. People claiming the ratings on that would be down. But from what you said, a matchup standpoint, that's two teams that's loaded with talent. And that'd be something. That'd be a really good matchup. Really a real chess matchup, you know, between Bud and Ty Lue.
It would just definitely be a chess matchup. And it's like, you're right. Like, Ravens Rise would be funny because, yeah, the Clippers are only a LA team by location. Like, LA don't bang with the Clippers, dog. So I don't think that would be a high-watched NBA final at all. But I do think it'll be a good final. I want to stay in the East real quick, man. You brought this topic up today in the chat. So if you look at any of the 4, 5, 6 East teams right now, the 4 through 6 teams right now, so actually people were actually in the playoffs, not the play-in niggas. You got the Knicks are firmly at the 4th seed. Not firmly, but they're tied for the 4th right now, but they have the tiebreak over the Hawks at 33-27. Hawks are 5th, 33-27. And the Celtics are 32-28 at the 6th spot. They just lost to the Nets, then they lost to the Bulls earlier this week. Out of those three, who do you think has a legit shot to beat the big three of Brooklyn, Philly, and Milwaukee? If any of them.
This is going to sound weird, you know, because a lot of us don't really believe in this team. But I'm going to say Boston. I really think with players like Tatum and Brown, it's usually, you know, great guard playing wing play these days that gets you over the top. And so having those two with the ability they have, if they can catch fire, they could damn near beat anybody. I know it's going to be tough on the defensive side, but you got to think Brooklyn don't play defense. So that's one team that I think, although I would still pick Brooklyn because they have more firepower, that's somebody that can compete with them. And if you have with the injuries that are going on, if you're missing one of those big three, who knows what could happen. Bucks, I think, you know, it's a similar situation, but I think the Bucks will tear it out. But if I had to pick between those three who are streaking right now, I will pick Boston. I like the Knicks, what they're doing at least. I let you know they're hard-nosed defensive team. And, you know, they play a lot through Julius Randle. And my thing is, how is that going to, how's it going to play come playoff time? We saw it with the Bulls playing through Joakim Noah, although Julius Randle is much, much, much better than Joakim Noah. So I'm not saying that as a slight.
Offensively.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, offensively, yeah. I'm not saying that as a slight to Julius Randle, but we have to see how that plays come playoff time. And so, you know, when younger guys like R.J. Barrett, I love to see D-Rose still doing this thing.
And love it. I just wish he was in a different uniform, but I love it.
Yeah, of course. That's gonna be rough come playoff time because I root for Bro to do good no matter what team he on. But for the Knicks, it's like, I want to see him do well, but if they don't do well, I ain't mad. But I think they're still a young team, and I think this is just something. This is something like I said last episode. This is something that's really great for the Knicks to build on going forward, because now, you know, you can re-spark some of that energy and some of that really the hype that you really want around New York. And I never agree with this, but everybody always says, you know, basketball is better when the Knicks are good.
LeBron said that this week.
Yeah,
James said that this week.
Yeah, a lot of old heads say that. Well, people from the, you know, they grew up in the old school basketball generation. So we'll see if that's true or not. But I think this is something great for the Knicks to build on. But this ain't the year for them to really compete with knocking somebody off. Like I said, there'll be an exciting, probably 6 or 7 game first round series with whoever they play.
I'll say this about the Knicks, man. I will give the Knicks credit is they have a good foundation for the first time. And I think if you're a Knicks fan, you should be excited because, yeah, I don't expect them to win the playoff series at all because, like I said, they remind me of those non-D-Rose Bulls teams when D-Rose was injured. They play great. They play defensively. They play great defensively. They can win 45 games, but they don't have enough scoring. And in the playoffs in the NBA, it's a superstar game. It's about who has the best offensive talent 9 times out of 10. But they have something to build on. I feel like more players are probably going to want to play in New York. Now I had an argument with a homie of mine who's a Knicks fan. He said the Knicks are more attractive than the Bulls, and like on the success, I would give the Knicks this. Yes, the Knicks have had more success this season, so it might give them an edge over the Bulls. But if I'm a free agent, I would rather play with 2 All-Stars. I think that's the card that the Bulls have in their back pocket. Like, yeah, the Knicks are a good collective, but we got 2 niggas. You got a walking double-double in Vooch, and you got a nigga who can give you 30. We know without even, you know, looking at Zach LaVine. So I think that's a little more attractive. But to answer the question, I'm with you with the Celtics. They have the offensive talent. Tatum and Brown are clicking. And they're supposed to be We expect them to finish in the top three this year. Matter of fact, I had them come out of the East in the preview pod. So I was way off. But just from the offensive talent, I feel like they can give one of the top three a scare. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely agree with you on that when they got with Tatum and Brown and what we're seeing from Kemba's actually starting to look like an NBA player again. That is somebody I probably would not want to see in the first round if I was a big three. So that's definitely who I would pick too. Now, if we look at the play-in games in the East and in the West, man, right now as it stands in the East, we got Miami at 7. We got Charlotte at 8. The Pacers at 9. And Washington has a one-game lead over the Bulls. We'll get to the Bulls later in the pod on that 10th seed right now. They had another win tonight over the Thunder, a 20-point win. Russ, I got to give it to Russ, man. Russ out here cooking again, another triple-double, 37-11-11. Russell Westbrook has been the average of triple-double for the fourth season in a row. And I think to the point, it's like, we don't even, like, talk about it. It's like, oh, like, we're expecting Russ to average triple-doubles at this point. He's really, like, kind of putting the Wizards on his back right now, man. I think they're going to get that final spot. And the West, you got Portland at 7, Memphis at 8, Golden State at 9, and San Antonio at 10. And quietly, Golden State is only, what, 2.5 games behind Dallas for the actual last 6 seed. They had a great win tonight against Denver. Steph Curry, another great game. So to answer the question, who would you – out in each conference, what's a team in each playing game you would not want to play? You on mute, bro.
Time out. What you just said about Golden State?
They're like 2.5 behind Dallas right now.
No, they are 3.5 behind Dallas.
Okay,
They are 3 games behind. No, fuck that. They are 3 games behind Dallas. They are 2.5 behind Portland. And they are
a game behind Memphis.
I know you be trying to give your light skin save
some
breather room.
It's not even that.
But we got to be honest with the shit that we reporting. But no, but speaking of the Warriors, that's definitely a team I wouldn't want to play just off the strength. Playoff time, that's where stars shine the brightest. And seeing how Steph is going crazy right now, I know he's just going to turn up in the playoffs. So, like, that's the team that I wouldn't want to play. I think if the Lakers, if they slide into that playoff and that play-in area,
Lakers are what?
Possible.
Lakers are what, 2 up on Dallas?
They
2.5.
Yeah, they 2.5 up on Dallas. My math is on Portland.
When it gets to the half, my math be off.
Bro, that's how I used to be when I was in the booth and I had to do spotting for the radio.
Bro,
they make you call out plays, so I got to call yards on the fly.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, nigga, that shit's terrible.
Even the half, you look at it, bro, it's 2.5. They're really 3 games in a loss column. Like, they got to get over the half.
Exactly.
So that's 3. I don't know if the Lakers are going to fall. They got AD back, even though he's on a minutes restriction, but I say this, man. I would say Golden State too. I would not want right now. It will be they will face Memphis.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to see them niggas.
What about Portland though?
I told you I'm kind of all Portland, bro. I'm kind of all Portland. I'm selling all Portland Trailblazers stock, and that has nothing to do with Dame. You know, I think Dame's most protected superstar on the internet, but that's a whole different.
I disagree,
so I
though.
I think Dame is – niggas don't slander Dame because Dame is cool. Like, let's be real. Dame, if you name all the superstar, he don't get no slander.
But, I mean, I think Dame is one of those situations where, like, if I'm going hard and I'm losing to better – like, the only series where I think he really, really should have got shit was that New Orleans series when Jrue Holiday had that nigga in his pocket.
When he had that, like, nigga's car note, his name on the car note?
Yeah, that's the one series where it's like, damn, Dame, like, where you at? But, like, no. I think other than that, I'm not going to slander you for trying your hardest and losing.
You know Twitter don't care. Niggas will try their hardest. LeBron try hardest all the time. He still got them drugs when he didn't win and when he don't win the finals.
Yeah.
He gets like okay, even if let's say the Warriors make them lose a play-in game, but Steph averaged like damn near 40, niggas ain't gonna care.
Yeah,
niggas is not gonna care, and Dame gets away with that because he cool when he rap, and I'm not leaving Portland, and I love Dame by the way. I'm just stating facts, but in the West, I would not want to see Golden State. In the East, I wouldn't want to see Miami. Like, I don't even play a little sus this year, but they still went to the NBA Finals last year. And when it's healthy and the whole gang's there, you know Jimmy don't want to go home with no play-in game, bro.
Yeah.
Out of all of them, Charlotte don't have any experience. Indiana is no. Washington, I'm not counting on Russ and his bonehead basketball IQ in the playoffs. I'm going with the Heat.
I agree with the Heat, but I disagree about Washington. I wouldn't want to play them either. Not right now. Not with the way that Russ is playing and with Bradley Beal on that squad. You got some more shooters. I don't want to fuck his name up. But, bro, that they gave a big contract to this offseason, I think that's a team you may not want to – that's a pesky team come playoff time. I think the Pacers, I really like the Pacers core. They just don't have a superstar and never will get one to come to Indiana. like, it's amazing to me that, like, this is, like, the perfect team, in my opinion, for Paul George to play with. Like, if Paul George is on the Pacers with this supporting cast, they would be fucking nasty.
But just don't want to play in the cornfield city.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to, you know, recruit niggas to the birthplace of the KKK. It's like
that too.
Yeah, come play in Indiana. Like,
no, like nightlife in Indianapolis is like, nigga, no.
We don't give a fuck about Hoosiers. Like,
no, bro.
It's like when they asked Tim Anderson about Field of Dreams. He said, I ain't watched that damn movie. Like, niggas don't care about Hoosiers.
I'm with TAG. I don't care about that. Field of Dreams, JNG. I don't care about that, though.
Yeah, who the fuck want to play in a cornfield? Like, come on, bro.
That's borderline racist for, like, black people. I don't want to be in the cornfield, bro.
We're not playing in no fields no more, bro.
No fields. I don't want no parts, bro. But, yeah, I'm going to go with the Heat. And right now, the matchup will be Heat. Wizards in the play-in.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. Give me Heat Wizards and give me Luka versus Steph. That's what I want. Give me Luka versus Steph in the play-in.
Yeah. I will say this. For all the complaining we've done about the regular season, I think the playoffs are really going to turn up. Like,
yeah.
They're going to tee up fast. And I think that's going to be dope to see. But, yeah, bro.
What do you feel about the play-in game? I seen some – the Mavericks were kind of complaining about it. Luka said he thought it's stupid, and so did Rick Carlisle.
It's a money grab. That's just like the 17 games is a money grab. Just like the extra playoff team in the NFL is a money grab. It's amazing how quickly narratives can switch, because you know how people used to always talk about, like, the race for the eighth seed. And then, like, one day I was sitting there watching TV, and they were like, the all-important 10th seed. It's like – you know how fucking crazy that sounds?
Well, that's because ESPN got them playing game rights, and they try to steal that game.
It's like, bro, it's 15 teams. So you telling me two-thirds of the teams are going to make the playoffs in some capacity. Like, that's silly. But, I mean, it is what it is, you know. I think as we get older, I always tell myself I'm not going to turn into the old head who shits on all the new shit that's going on. Because, I mean, that's life. Life change, things change, things evolve, things grow, sometimes better, sometimes worse. And I think at the end of the day, this is stupid. The players don't like it, but a few years from now, it'll feel like commonplace. I mean, it's plenty of rules and plenty of things that happen now that, you know, were implemented in the 80s or the 90s that people were like, yo, what the fuck are y'all doing? And now it's normal. So I think it's gonna be the same thing with these playing games.
I mean, it's kind of like, I kind of treat it like, I like it. And there's not a lot of things with new rules that I like, especially in baseball. Rob Manfred, you can go to hell for that extra innings.
Silly.
Shit. You can go to hell for these seven-inning double-headers. But I like the playing thing because I feel like a lot of the bottom seeds, especially in the East, I don't be caring about the first round matchups. Give me something that's exciting. And if you're a young team, if you're a team on the rise, like, you get excited about that. I mean, we have an opportunity to get in the playoffs. And it's just fun. I think that was, like, probably only the real entertaining part to me about the bubble. I know I'm in the minority. Niggas love the bubble. I couldn't stand the bubble. I hated it. Like, I that was the least NBA playoffs I watched, nigga, probably ever. I just didn't like it. But I like the playing thing. Brings a little excitement into it. But like you said, the all-important 10 seed, ESPN got to sell that game, dog. You gotta boost that up, make it sound semi-exciting. But that's how I feel about that, man. Let's get into Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is finally back. AD finally back with the Lakers. Came back on Thursday against the Dallas Mavericks. He's on a 15-minute restriction, if I'm not mistaken. It's 15 minutes They ended up losing that game 115-110. Let's see what he had. He only played 16 minutes. He had 4 points, 4 rebounds. What do you feel about AD coming back?
I mean, he's going to be rusty as fuck. He hasn't played in, what, over 2 months damn near. So, like I said, I'm not expecting a lot from him. I'm expecting him just really to be working on getting his win back. I think, you know, in the game that we saw him against Dallas, he put up a lot of shot attempts. At one point, he was 1 for 6. I think he finished with only like 2 or 3 field goals. And so, I mean, it's going to just be a process of him getting back in shape. And I think this will work in the Lakers' favor because you need him to be in a rhythm, you know, when LeBron comes back. You know, you didn't want him to sit out and miss more games. And then you're waiting for him to do this right before the playoffs start. So I think they're working this right. He's going to play, like you said, between 15 and 20 minutes a game. I think against Dallas, he played like 16 minutes and some change, so nothing too crazy. But I think this is great for the Lakers. I think it'll help them on the offensive end because, you know, since he and LeBron went down, I believe they're second in defense, but they're 28th on offense. So they've really struggled to get buckets. So we'll see how they play, you know, with AD back.
I mean, yeah, it's good for them to be back, but there's two things I got to talk about. One, I'm still nervous about his injury. I think that's going to be something to watch the whole entire playoffs, like especially with as fragile as AD is. I don't think that's not going to be, especially the way he described it in his press conference the other day. Like he said the second time he heard, he did think he tore it. And so I'm very worried. If I was a Lakers fan, I'd be very, very worried about that. But the number one thing I want to point out, Andre Drummond had a classic Andre Drummond vein that I've been telling you niggas about for the longest. 30 minutes played, 14 points, 19 rebounds. On paper, look like he had a great game, right? This nigga is a liability. They took this nigga out at the end of the fourth quarter because he's a liability on the court. And he just has some of those, like, I've never seen somebody have 14, 19 and have absolutely zero impact on the game. Like, he literally had a bad game this week. And I think that's going to be a problem. I think it's going to be a problem. I mean, yeah, the Lakers are a huge team. The Lakers might be the biggest team in the league. But I don't see – and not that I expect Drummond to play that many minutes in crunch time. But I think he's going to be an issue. I really think he's going to be an issue, man. I feel like defensively, you can kill that nigga. And I feel like that's something we're going to have to watch out, man. And just the first game since AD been back, and you already got to take this nigga out. So that's something that I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say – Playing two bigs don't really work well for most teams.
In today's game.
Unless they're like two really skilled bigs that can actually flow together. And that's rare that teams have that. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like you said, we talk so much about matchups and things like that. So as much as we rave about his ability on the offensive end, especially on the glass, I think come playoff time, when other teams are able to neutralize him or pick and roll you to death, and that's really hindering the Lakers. It's going to be interesting to see what Frank Vogel decides to do.
Yeah, definitely. Let's move on to our last topic before we get to power rankings. The Bulls. The Bulls right now are 4 games behind the last play-in spot. They do have the tiebreaker over Washington, so if they end up with the same record, the Bulls will be going to the play-in and Washington will be going home. But they have won 3 of the last 4, actually, surprisingly, since Zach LaVine has been out in COVID protocol. They beat the Cavaliers, they beat the Hornets, and they had a big win in Boston to begin the week. Vooch is hooping like Vooch is always hooping, but the story is Coby White. Coby White is starting to actually play better. Where are you at right now, Coby White? Because I'm kind of like on the fence about, like, he's very excruciating to watch. I kind of feel like if he's not out there giving you buckets, there's really no point of having this nigga on the court. But when he's playing like he's playing now, he's obviously a plus.
I just think he doesn't fit with Zach, right? And the fact that he's going off with Zach out of the lineup is kind of, you know, leading me to believe that even more. So I feel like, you know, I think he definitely has talent. He can be a contributor, but it just probably won't be with the Chicago Bulls. So, I mean, like I said, I like the scoring ability, but like you said, when there is no consistency, even though he's young as hell, like, we got to think, he did 1 year at UNC, so he's, what, 20? Like, yeah, so he's still young as hell, but I think where I'm at with Coby is, I really don't think he'll be on this team next year.
Coby is 21. Okay. He's born February 16, 2000. Good Lord. I ain't no human being. He's born in 2000. But, yeah, he's definitely probably my least favorite Bull right now, and that's not counting Laurie Markkanen, because in my head, in my story, as my man B-Dot says, in my story, Lauri Markkanen is not on his roster. So I'm just not even paying attention to that. And if you look at the Bulls' last Twitter post when they won last night against Charlotte, you saw AK in the AK was in the tunnel dapping everybody up. He even hit Vooch with the dap hug, but then completely didn't even notice Lauri, and just nigga just kept walking in the tunnel. And they were like, "Oh, well, that nigga's done." So it's just Kobe's real infuriating to watch. I do feel like everybody not named Vucevic, Levine, and Williams is up for grabs whether or not they're gonna be on the team next year. So, but one thing I've noticed since Zach has been out is the defense has got a little better. Defense has been a lot. They've been playing more of a team game. You've been getting a little bit more impact from the bench, which I think has been the biggest issue for this team since the trade has started. It's not that, you know, I mean, of course, I think they're probably one of the worst defensive teams in the league, but their bench has been so bad. Like, offensively, if you look at the starting lineup. Starting lineup has been pretty much as advertised as they got Vooch, but they're not getting help from anybody else. So I just don't think that, you know, Kobe is going to be somebody who's going to be a long term. But we talked about this when we came on the air, is their game behind the Wizards, but I don't want these niggas to get to play in now. Like, to me, it's like I'd rather just roll the dice with our, you know, with us owning and keeping our top four protected pick. You know, right now we got 28% chance of getting the top four pick. I'll take those odds, man. You know what I'm saying? Get you another core piece instead of getting in the first round and getting washed by Boston. I felt like the only way making a play-in game would be beneficial is if this team was playing well, like the Knicks are playing. If they're playing well, I'm like, yeah, let's get some of these young guys some postseason experience. But at this point, there's no point of just, you know, crawling to the play-in finish line. Just get that last rack. And by the way, I don't think they have a chance. If you look at the schedule, our next four games, you got two straight games in Miami, both losses. You go into the Garden against the Knicks. They're going to get locked up. And then they come home to play Milwaukee. I think that's a four-game losing streak right there. So I don't think we're going to need them to tank. I think they're naturally going to do that.
Although, for the record, every time you say they're going to lose, them niggas win. Like,
so maybe this is I don't know. And you raised a good point.
I remember you swore me down they were going to lose to Brooklyn. I looked up, like, them niggas won. But I agree with you. Like, at this point, and I'm not saying tank. I think they're going to try, but I just think they're not going to have enough to get into that play-in game. And at this point, that's probably going to be a blessing in disguise, because with your pick being top four protected this year, you really want to be in that lottery and roll those dice. So, you know, if you get shit 7-8, whatever, again, then you just give that to Orlando and you can start that process of getting, you know, allowing that deal to be finally finished. So I'm with you on that. Like, playing at this point, had we felt like we're keeping the bulk of this team, then I would say, yes, let's try to, you know, build it up, do what we can, make a run at the playoffs. But we know that most of these motherfuckers are gone. So
I'm expecting 85% roster turnover next year. Yeah.
I won't say 85, but just because that's high as hell, but I do expect at least 2 to 3 more guys
gone. Okay, so it's who the three definite 100% these niggas not gonna win this roster next year?
I think Felicio's dumbass contract is finally up.
Yeah, I mean, niggas who play.
Okay, yeah, okay. I think Lauri will not be on the squad. I think his spirit and just wanting to be in Chicago has been crushed.
Lauri needs new scenery. Yeah.
I think Lauri, he's gone. I think Sato is gone. And I also think I think Thad is gone. Damn, that's three right there. I think that those are three that I think won't be here next year. I think, like I said, I don't think Kobe gonna be here, so that's four.
So you're 100% on Kobe not being here. I'm not 100% on Kobe yet.
I'm
50-50.
I'm 75-25.
Whew, okay. My 100% for sure is Lauri Markkanen. There's not a shot in hell he's gonna be on this roster next year. Lauri's number one. I say Denzel Valentine is for sure not gonna be on this roster next year. And then number three, I would probably have to say, who would I have at three? I think Thad's going to be gone too. I would like to see Thad back. I wouldn't have a problem bringing Thad back, like maybe on a 1 or 2 year deal. But I want defenders on this team. I would love to keep Daniel Tice. I like Troy Brown Jr. I like what I see from that kid. I would like to bring him back. I don't even have I think Garrett Temple has been solid all year. So there's like a couple guys who I wouldn't mind having back. But next year, we just need some defenders, bro. We need defenders and niggas who play their role as well. So those are my three for sure who I don't think is going to get back. But we're going to close this up with our power rankings, man. I'm going to go first. I'm going to start at five with the Washington Wizards. I got them at five. They've won seven. They won their seventh in a row tonight. 20-point win over OKC. Russ is like I said, Russ is on a tear right now. Russ has put himself back in the top 10 players in the league conversation. He's on the road to averaging a fourth straight triple-double. Bradley Beal, or as I like to call him, Nellyville Beal, he's still doing his thing out here. And I think, like you said, they're going to be a sneaky team to play in that first in that playing game. For my fourth spot, I'm going to put Boston Celtics up there. The Celtics, they're 7-3 in their last 10. Tatum is finally looking good. Brown has been good all year. We got a post from Kemba Walker. That is not a team that I want to face if I was one of the big three. So I'm going to put the Boston at number four, despite the fact that they lost to the Nets without KD and Harden tonight. Number three, I'm putting the Denver Nuggets there. The Nuggets are in the fourth seed right now. They're 7-3 in their last 10. Didn't do good tonight. They got blown out by the Warriors, but Denver will hold strong at number three for me. Number two, I'm going with the Clippers, man. Clippers have won their fourth in a row. They are 11-2 in the month of April. Paul George is on the chair. They're still doing this without Kawhi Leonard. They're doing this without Serge Ibaka. And they're doing this without Pat Bev. I feel like Rondo might have been the best acquisition at the deadline for anybody. He's doing exactly what they need to do. And I got to give it to Terrence Mann. Terrence Mann is looking like a hooper out there. Really love what I'm seeing from Terrence Mann. So I'm putting him number two. Number one, man, the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks are my number one team. They've won their eighth in a row. They're fourth right now. That team is moving good. Julius Randle is finally looking like the lottery pick that he was drafted as, what, six, 7 years ago?
Yeah.
So they're going to be a team there. And that's a team right now. You can just tell that they got that good camaraderie around there. They love each other. Tibbs even gave niggas a day off. Like, what is that? I was like, nigga, who kidnapped this guy? So I'm going to put the New York Knicks number one, man. We've given the Knicks love 2 weeks in a row on this podcast.
Yeah. My number five team is going to be the Boston Celtics. Number four, I would probably say, is the Phoenix Suns. Number three, I'm going to go with three, I'll have to go with the Washington Wizards. Two, I'll have to go New York Knicks. And one, I'm going to go Clippers. I think the Clippers are really putting their foot on the gas as we head toward the playoffs. And I think that's going to be a team that's going to be scary to run into.
For sure, man. Goofy Mog of the Week, I think this hands down for me. I'm giving it to Lakers Twitter, bro. That little catfish story you niggas had on the timeline, I mean, I'm putting all you niggas in jail for that. All of y'all, even the ones who had nothing to do with it. Y'all niggas had KD in the Twitter spaces asking this nigga to explain to him what happened. And I just love the fact that KD is a Twitter nigga. I don't know about y'all. I take a great solace in that. Like, I love the fact that he just one of us. He be at practice when Kyrie is, like, spraying sage across the court and Harden trying to figure out what club he going to. And he out on Twitter arguing with us niggas. So I love that from KD, man. So I'm getting my good mark week to Lakers Twitter.
Yeah. My goofy mug of the week goes to everybody, myself included, who wrote off Russell Westbrook. I think
put me in point, that too. Put yeah, me in that too.
You know, as much like I said, if I'm gonna call out when I'm right, I gotta, you know, acknowledge when I'm wrong too. And this was definitely a situation where I was wrong. I think one thing, you know, looking back that I didn't take into account, a lot of people didn't, is that Russ hurt his quad in the bubble.
Yeah. And I forgot about that. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, and so you know, being injured and, you know, obviously rehab is probably different with COVID and everything going on. Bro just really needed to get back into his groove. And so I think right now what we're seeing is a healthy, engaged, energized Russell Westbrook. And that, you know, it's really playing, it's paying off on the court. So I definitely got to give the Goofy Mog of the Week to myself and everybody who wrote off Russell Westbrook.
For sure, definitely, man. And before we get out here, man, we'd be remiss to not send our condolences to the family of Terrence Clark. Losing his life in that car crash, man. That was real sad to learn, man. Keep his family in prayers. Also want to send out our condolences to the family of hip-hop legend Shock G, man. Shock G, Bay Area legend, hip hop legend. If you're a Tupac Shakur fan, like I know a lot of y'all are, you got to give up to Shaq. Without Shaq, there's no Pac. Shaq is, you know, has one of my favorite verses. I love his verse on I Get Around, you know, same song, all the do the Humpty Hump, nigga. Like, you got to give up to Shaq. Shaq was a legend. Also, RIP to Black Rob. Black Rob has maybe one of my top 10 favorite rap songs ever in Woe. It was a banger. Also love his verse on Let's Get It. He just had a lot of my, you know, he was one of the guys who were holding that Bad Boy flag after Biggie passed, man. So you got to give it up to him. So keep all that family in prayers. You know to follow us, man. You can follow us at Barbershop Scott, at October's on Tay. Follow the brand Barbershop Network at Barbershop Net on Twitter and Instagram. Go to Patreon right now, patreon.com/Barbershop Network. I think we have a lot on like 70 subscribers right now. I would love to get to 100 by the sometime in the summer. My man Matthew McConaughey say, let's get those numbers up. Let's get those numbers up. And we're going to holler at y'all niggas next week, man. So y'all have a good weekend and y'all stay up, man. We out.